Are you ready? Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
On 11-16 SEA. Ultimate Rap with George Tanikin, Troy Zantac, and Emma Nolafrancesco.
What a welcome. It's Sunday night. It's just after 9 o'clock. A big thank you to David Davidovich and Mr. Zappers. That was fantastic. This is the Ultimate Rap brought to you by Northern Jeep, Australia's number one dealer, and Jetport Airport Parking, who make it as simple as can be when you need to park and fly from Tullamarine. I'm joined, of course, as you heard, by my regular rappers, namely Emma Notafrancesco, who is not a bad sport, and Troy Zantac. Good evening, folks.
Good evening. You're looking very comfortable in that chair.
Relaxed, because I don't have that giant frame of Tony Shebeki.
You missed the Shebekster.
Ask me where Shebeki is.
So why is Shebeki not in his chair?
There is a suggestion that he may have gone to Sydney, but I'm reliably informed that he's still in Adelaide for the Clipsal 500. Now, listen, tonight is a bit of an adventure, a bit of an experiment, and a bit of an opportunity to reflect on a host of things. Your week, our time at the SEN season launch.
Could I just say good evening, good evening to you, George, Emma, and to all the listeners out there. They may have been thinking I wasn't actually part of the show, but it's great to be here, George. Thank you.
I was going to let you come in whenever you felt like it.
This is an ongoing thing that he actually never really gets to talk too much.
I feel like the Harpo Marx of this outfit.
There's three of us tonight. Well, go nuts,
George. All I need is a horn.
Listen, before we start.
Just put up your hand like I do
a big shout out from all the rappers in the studio, even Tony Shebeki, to one of SEN's finest who will notch up another milestone, what has been a much storied career. We're talking about of course, Kevin Bartlett.
Chingos.
Was someone channeling that was, KB? Let me hear that again.
There he...
Chingos.
My goodness. If you're wondering what the whole fuss is about, it's a major date tomorrow.
It's a big day. Mm. Yeah. Big day for KB.
How much should we tell them about KB tomorrow?
Oh, plenty.
All right. Well, why don't you start?
Well, there's a rumour around that there could be 70 candles on a birthday cake headed KB's way.
No. Listen, occupational health and safety would never allow anyone
to put 70 candles cake.
Are you serious? Are you telling me that Denise, KB's wife, would allow him to put 70 candles on a cake?
We were lucky enough to meet Denise.
Yeah, she's lovely.
We caught up with KB.
Yeah.
We
at
did.
Greenfields in Albert Park.
The best part was he was prepared to talk to Emma, and we just happened to be around. And he told Emma about his time with the Queen, about how they went to lunch, actually, Denise and KB with the Queen at Leonda by the Yarra. A lifetime ago, he talked about that statue that now sits proudly for all those Richmond fans to go and genuflect. And he talked about a thousand other things. He did mention also the 403 games he played for Richmond.
He's talk about a storied career, George. I've got a few facts on the great man.
Have you got any stories?
Well, he was born in Carlton.
What?
He grew up in Richmond. He followed Footscray. And he played for Richmond.
How was he born in Carlton but doesn't barrack for Carlton?
That's a good question.
It's a very good question,
George is very unhappy.
And
with
I reckon KB is a fair chance, Em and George, of actually tuning in tonight.
Mm.
He said he may tune in. So
what, he's starting to count the candles from now to make sure that they're ready for tomorrow?
Well, it'll be finished by the time he starts tomorrow at 9 o'clock. Now, just a few facts.
Okay. Go.
1965, KB started his career, finished it in 83 with the Tigers. As you said, George, 403 games for an incredible 778 goals. He played 20 games. He represented Victoria 20 times. He played in the 67, 69, 73, 74 and 80 premierships. Norm Smith medal, who could forget that, in 1980 with those 7 goals.
So what you're really saying, he was comfortable in the spotlight.
He was very comfortable. And BNF's 67, 68, 73, 74, 77. He was the Tigers' leading goal kicker in 74, 75, 77 and 83. An inductee into the Australian Football Hall of Fame, attaining legend status.
Well, you're getting me excited.
Richmond Team of the Century and Hall of Fame immortal. Captain of Victoria in 1980. He was a Galah representative in 1968.
Should I mention that, and if you're listening and for the first time to the Ultimate Rap,
yeah.
We always channel KB. He's there or thereabouts.
He's...
You don't believe me?
Well, you're getting me excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Yeah. And his crowning achievement, 1984 KB, King of Moomba.
You're joking.
Yep.
He you made did mention it. That the other night.
That's where I got it from.
So what are you saying? I've actually worked with two people now who were Kings of Moomba.
Oh, and the great man, Graham Kennedy.
Graham Kennedy and KB, Kevin Bartlett.
Well, KB, if you're listening, happy birthday.
Yeah, big happy birthday.
Big happy birthday.
And there'll be plenty of blowing out of those candles.
Look, if you want to give us a bit of a background, maybe you have a story about KB. Why don't you give us a call, 9429 1116, or SMS us on 0433 981116, and we have some fabulous prizes.
What have we got, George?
Well, we've got an opportunity to create a wall. We have a $100 voucher from createawall.net.au, which allows you, especially if you win this voucher, a custom removable wall art moment, perfect for either the home office, your man cave, or as I alluded to Emma a little earlier, to a woman's retreat. So there's something special. And we've also got an opportunity for the SCN prize pack, which has a host of goodies. Look, the best part is win it and then we'll tell you what you've won. Because it's got everything. It'll take me half a night to tell you what's on that prize list.
It's a, would you say it's a treasure trove?
A treasure trove of trickery. No, no, no. It's great prizes. But speaking of great things, you know how we finished the show last week?
It was on a disappointing note. Yeah.
It was.
We had run into
one of Emma's dilemmas. And Emma had given us an insight into her life, which occasionally... raises not only our eyebrows, but the ire of people around us who go, really?
You know what, George?
She's got to look out for
things
like that.
I come here with content, don't I? Every Sunday, we sit for an hour in pre-production. We don't really go over our notes. We more talk about my life and what's happened on the weekend.
On that subject, would you like to bring us up to speed with how we finished last week?
So last week, my dilemma was all about a boy that took me out and I ended up being the one paying for dinner, which we're all a little bit shocked about.
Don't know how that happens.
Yeah. So that was the dilemma of the week.
Yep.
This week's a little bit different.
Right.
Going closer to home. We're going to family. So last week on the show. Okay. Here we are.
Oh, no.
Here we go. Last week on the show, I said something a little bit mean about my father when we were just having
Not
a bit
Vincenzo.
Of banter and bit of... Yes.
You bagged Vincenzo.
I did a little bit. We were talking about my mother's hair colour, and then we ended up, I think you asked me the question about my dad.
Yep.
And I ended up saying that he was short and fat. Poor dad. Oh. Poor Vinny. Which, of course, he is not. He's a very strapping young man. He's just got a little bit of a pot. But
that's very sad, Em, I've got to say.
Don't dig a bigger grave.
To say that to
After Vincenzo gave us the extra virgin olive oil. And tonight, George.
Tonight I come bearing gifts from Vincenzo. We saw state at the Nodders yesterday.
What a cracking bloke he must be.
I've got you some sauce, boys. Some homemade.
Speaking of sauce.
Not a Francesco sauce.
We've got a little bit of sauce. And did you notice we were channeling some special music for you? We've got a little sauce from David Frankston. I wonder if we can go to Dave and find out. He's got a little sauce on KB. What have you got for us, Dave?
Yeah, well, what I know, he mentioned many times over the years that every Friday night, no matter what was happening the next day, whatever, it was always fish and chip night.
That's right, yes.
So there must be something about the old fish and chips because... Hitting 70 and 403 games, there must be some sort of magic in that meal.
That's a great get, Dave.
Either the special Omega moments that you find in there, or it was something in the wrappers. Yeah. What do you reckon?
I reckon he loaded up on the pickle onions too, KB. And, you know, now they're so rigid in what they can eat. And here's the great man, 403 games, fish and chips before a game on a Friday night.
Beautiful. Thank you for the source there, Dave. Dave from Frankston giving us a little back info on KB, who is reaching a milestone, turning 70 tomorrow. Yes, Emma, you don't have to put your hand up. Just bring us up to date.
We've also got some people texting in. KB goes to bed at 8 p.m. So
he's missed this. All right, okay.
I think he'll stay up for this one. And KB was also a part of the original SEN. From Brett in St. Albans. So text us, tweet us also at The Ultimate Rap. And I'm just going to finish my story, guys, because you really interrupted.
Play the music, Timbo.
Yeah, strike up the band.
Joe Cocker, he's just, we're channeling Joe. We got the Ouija board out and thank you very much, Joe.
Yep. This is The Ultimate Rap and we're listening to Emma's Dilemma.
So my dad was really upset with me all week and I was trying so hard to get back into the good book. So, Dad, I apologise. You're not short and fat. I love you, Vincenzo. And I hope that you're talking to me again tomorrow because he reminded me before I left today, don't forget to tell everyone I'm not short and fat. So
I don't think
my accent off either, Vincenzo.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What was that wonderful thing that Vincenzo laid on you a couple of months back when you went out to a special night and he thought you looked beautiful, ravishing, but he said you don't need
I don't like the paint.
Don't like the paint.
The paint means because I just got a lot of no. It was the blonde that I put in my hair. Yeah. So instead of saying dye, he thought it was called paint.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
When you mention the word dye, just genuflect again. My wife will be listening, and she'll go,
"Hey, dye.
Hi there, guys."
I hope you've got a hairdresser's appointment too tomorrow. Oh, just quietly.
All right. So again, back to my weekend.
By the way, have we covered all of your dilemmas?
Not yet.
No, there's
not
another
yet.
One.
So, what am I going with here? All right, so I'm a little bit hungover.
Yeah, right. A little bit. But there's a legitimate reason.
Really?
Yeah, because I had a very big birthday last night. My cousin, it was her housewarming as well. We threw an amazing house party.
Yep. Yep.
I still think I look okay.
You own a mirror?
I went home and washed my hair, and I thought that I would, you know.
Makes an impression.
Looking okay.
Your hair's okay.
Might need a paper bag, though.
No, don't say that.
And I've been eating all day. We just ordered a pizza to the studio. That was fantastic.
Yes, Adam is still eating it, by the way.
Thank you, Adam, for finishing off
my
pizza.
Because we don't eat in the studio, thanks very much. By the way, did you meet anybody at the party?
Hello. Now we're getting to
I just felt.
We've had these discussions in the green room, and you always bring them into the studio, and it's not fair.
But I think this one needs to be addressed, George. I think we need to address it.
Because
really
I don't want to leave a young man up in the air.
Yeah.
I don't really think it's a problem. I met a lovely fella.
A lovely fella? Okay.
Last night at the party.
Yeah.
He's a copper.
Yeah, his name was
Bruce. He's a member of the police force. Thank you very much.
Was it Bruce or Barry?
Anyway. I was just telling the boys the story earlier, and
we're the boys.
Troy seems to think that he's not good. We went out for lunch today.
Yeah, which sounds nice.
Lovely.
Yes,
and appropriate.
Yeah, and appropriate. Yes.
Went out for lunch. He paid. So that's a step up from last week.
You've gone from a non-payer to
payer.
Yeah.
You
I like it.
We're winning so far.
She's taking our advice, which is just fantastic.
Yeah.
It makes the world a difference.
Yeah.
And then I texted after to say thank you.
Yeah.
And you think that was a mistake because I haven't heard from him. And no, actually, the way it ended and you think that this is a bad sign, he said,
look,
see you soon.
Look, it's a lot to ask of two men to give you any information or advice that's sound and reasonable. So what we're going to do a little bit later on, we've got Tiffany Cherry, who's one of the hardest working women in the media, who's going to
Maybe
join
she
us.
Can give me a hand.
And Tiffany might give you an insight. She's got a brand new television program.
Yes.
All about women's sport. In fact, it's women's football. And we'll find out more about that when we catch up with Tiffany.
Very smart.
Because you guys are no help whatsoever. Thank you.
We can only do so much.
I've tried to guide you in the right direction, but
I just don't think I'm good at it.
You're not following my ways.
What we've got coming up over the next half hour, we're going to catch up, as I said, with Tiffany Cherry. We're going to catch up with Mark Sifoulis, who's going to give us a chance to find out what happened in the world of tennis. He's got his little tennis wrap, which is all
looking
part
forward
of
to that.
The ultimate.
Em's got some hard-hitting questions for Mark.
Has she? She's been doing a bit of homework, has she?
I have a little bit. And looking forward to our favourite segment. Can't believe I saw that.
Well, this particular episode that has occurred will be worth listening to.
Yeah, your one's a good one.
So stand by for that.
Mm-hmm.
So can we put the question about Emma's dilemma to one side for the time being?
Oh, of course, yeah. Move on.
Okay, very good. We did go to the SEN season launch.
Had a great time. Despite Emma coming, had a really good night.
How did you get there without Emma?
I've got to say, Em, I really appreciate...
We travel, wherever we travel, or the way we roll, we do it with style.
And I've got to say,
Emma made it happen.
So. Was looking an absolute picture.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and you knew straight away we were going to be well received when KB walked the length of the room and came to say hello to Emma.
Mm. Oh, I feel very special.
We knew we were in the good books when that happened.
Yep. Thanks, KB.
Yeah, absolutely.
We hope you're listening tonight.
Oh, by the way, someone else who should be listening is Tony Shebeki.
Mm-hmm.
He has been working very hard on what has been an extraordinary weekend in Adelaide. The weather there was good, unlike in Sydney. And the Clipsall 500. Is this the last Clipsall 500 that's been run and won?
It has been, for 18 years, it has been known as Clipsall, but unfortunately that was the last year. They haven't they haven't announced the naming right partner for next year.
So who won it?
Oh, well.
I was too busy.
I'll get into my rap then, shall I, George?
Catch it. Why not?
Do we get to play my intro music? Or?
There it is. Without missing a beat.
I did not choose that.
Great choice, Tim. I like it.
Thanks, Tim. All right. All about Clipsall this weekend, guys. Red Bull Racing proving strong yet again for the opening round of 2017.
So you're telling us that a New Zealander just crossed the Tasman without missing a beat.
Let me get through it, then you can... Okay.
You did say Red Bull.
No, I said, but, there's more.
Okay.
There's more than just Shane Van Gisbergen. He's in fine form, George, winning both races for the weekend.
The Giz.
In answer to your question, the Giz.
Yeah.
So what was that wonderful line you mentioned a little earlier?
G-Giz.
G-Giz. It's like a play on G-Wiz. He's that good.
I don't think you made that up. I think that's...
No, I read it in the paper.
Yeah, right. There you go.
I'm not smart enough to make up something as,
Moving on.
Is esoteric? Is that George? Am I?
I think personally you are, but if people disagree, they can ring us 9429-1116.
Are we going to let Emma get through?
I'll never get through my rap. I just cannot get.
If you think
I'm
we
not
should
even
let her get through
paragraph.
The rap, just tell us.
The floor's yours.
Does anyone want to know about the Clipsall? Okay, so as we predicted, DJR Team Penske went far behind with Scotty McLaughlin just missing out. In a thrilling battle across the final stint, Scotty just making an error at turn 9, still finished second.
Yeah.
Fabian Coulthard also, DJR Team Penske, finished on the podium in race 1. That was yesterday. And a special mention to Chas Mostert with a very smart strategy, getting him a spot on the podium in today's race. Now, your lady that you love, Simona Di Silvestro, that was her first weekend as a full-time driver.
How did she do?
She did okay. She had a better race today, finishing around 20th. She was involved in... A bit of a clash with James Courtney. That was all ended up being fine. But I think getting there.
Yeah, well,
great first weekend for it. Alex Rullo also debuting. The youngster, the 16-year-old, he finished both races, which is great to see. And we spoke about this a few weeks ago, guys. The last seat on the grid went to Taz Douglas. He took the LDM spot that was originally going to Matt Charter, if you remember that conversation from a few weeks ago.
Didn't
qualify for the CAM Super Licence, but only for the weekend. He's not expected to be racing for the rest of the year, so they're still trying to fill that final seat for LDM. That is Clipsall. Moving on to F1s, boys.
So just before we go to Formula 1, where do we go to now? The Clipsall has started the V8 season well and truly, and it's been yet another magnificent race. The pictures we saw all weekend, the coverage was really well received.
The crowds big weekend.
Embrace it. Yeah. Look, I think Adelaide has a fantastic reputation for delivering major events as simply and as efficiently as you can do it anywhere in the world. And they always make an impact.
Especially because the Grand Prix was obviously originally there. It is a great circuit. Yep. It's a street circuit. Everyone loves
it. And it wraps around the city.
Yeah, it's amazing. They have so many spectacles on the weekend. Stadium Super Trucks are there. So it really is the great way to open the year for supercars.
So where
next
do we go
to Melbourne for the Grand Prix. So they're part of, it's actually not part of their championship round, but they will be there racing. They're a great support category for the Grand Prix. And then we go to Phillip Island, which I think I'll have to go down to, boys.
Do we need to send an escort down to help you that particular weekend?
Oh, God. Yes, after
because
last
we
time.
Because we can start in making invitations now and asking of people if they wish to come and help us, make sure that Emma is not only looked after, but supported. You might need a work intern to help her through that weekend, because they thrust an awful lot of responsibility on you that weekend, and we want you to make it as seamless as possible.
Thanks, George. Well, I won't be working. I'll actually just be going for
fun. Oh, even better.
Yeah. So I think you should come along with me. It's, all right. Can I continue?
Just before you do that,
okay,
let's make sure we acknowledge some very important people. We'll take a break. It's 25 after 9.
I haven't finished my rap.
You're listening to The Ultimate Rap. And we're only halfway through Emma's. We're back. And if you're wondering why there's no Tony Shebeki, it's because he's still in transit.
Harding up at Clipsal.
Between Adelaide and Melbourne. Welcome to The Ultimate Rap. We're just enjoying a few little additions to the program. Somebody asked me just before we finish Emma's rap, what's the score in the cricket? Australia in their first innings, 5 for 211. Which means we're about 22 runs in front. And the batsmen who are making an impact, Sean Marsh, who has had a checkered run of innings over the last, I suppose, three or four tests, but he's come back strong. He's 61 not out, and he's in the middle with Wade. And the wicketkeeper has got 18 at the moment, and let's hope they continue to score. It's been a bit of a grind because the Indians have played some terrific cricket. They had to fight back, and they fought back with some fantastic fielding and some fantastic bowling. And at the moment, it's we're edging ever ahead. Australia now lead by 22 runs. So Australia, in reply to India's first innings of 189, 5 for 211. So we'll monitor that. And in the A-League, in the match between, I think it's Brisbane Roar and
Newcastle.
We saw a 3-1 result to the Roar. They looked like they were going to get to finish on equal terms, but they managed to just get that little momentum going. A couple of mistakes in the Newcastle defence, and you blinked, and it was a goal. So 3-1 the final result, and it means Roar now is on the heels of Melbourne City, who won earlier today. And interestingly, now with that draw between Perth and Wellington, it means that City have moved back to third, and you've got Roar right behind them, and you've got, Perth just sitting there waiting to pounce. Speaking of pouncing, this lovely lady that we know is Emma Notarfrancesco, who, by the way, seems to be in an interesting place at the moment. We've just learned.
Mm-hmm.
Troy, just tell us what we've just learned.
Oh, God.
That she's dating a young policeman.
Not dating. We went on one date.
Right, so you're not dating.
I don't know if I'm going to get a second.
All right. Well, someone who's just come up on the SMS screen has gone, if Emma is dating a policeman, surely she could get a police escort to the island. So they're out there. They're supporting you.
Thanks, guys. Can I finish my rap?
Yeah, why don't you finish your rap? And we've got Tiffany Cherry.
Thank you.
Almost ready to join
I'm on.
Us.
Here we go.
Okay, go for
all
it.
Right, so F1s are in Catalunya this week for pre-season testing, as we expected. Mercedes was out in force with the Red Bull and Ferrari not too far behind. We also saw, as promised, the cars are faster and we're
any
creating
noisier?
Faster lap times. A little bit louder.
Okay.
Not the same kind of sound. It's still a V6 engine. McLaren and Toro Rosso had plenty of issues also during the week. McLaren with their Honda engine, Toro Rosso with their Renault engine, and they only managed to get out one lap on the final day. My team to watch, and I'm excited to see this year, is Haas. They've got a good setup. Magnussen has come on board replacing Gutierrez, and they have a Ferrari engine. So they are my team to watch. That is F1, and that is my rap, boys.
Very impressive. Huh?
Did I say a word? I let you get through your
Thanks, Troy.
So come
on. You've got my back.
I'm cutting you some slack.
You've got my back.
Speaking of having our back, someone who's been doing some terrific work in sport and in women's sport for the quite a number of years now is Tiffany Cherry, and she joins us on SEN's Ultimate Wrap on a Sunday night. Tiffany, good evening. Welcome. Are you there? Hello, speak to me, Tiffany. Oh, she's probably...
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you. I can hear you.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful to join you guys.
Now, have you been yelling? Your voice sounds like it's about ready to crack.
I'm exhausted. Look, it's been a long 6-7 weeks so far. Obviously, a couple of weeks preceding the competition kicking off. It's been brilliant. So, yeah, doing a lot of talk and hopefully all in for a good cause. But I think the women in the AFLW are really showing the way.
Now, you've got a number of roles. You're not only on camera, but you've been doing a lot of production work behind the scenes. And you're making a real go of giving the women who've really turned it on over the last 4 or 5 weeks, you're giving them every opportunity to really shine. How has the feedback been on the show? This is the new program on Channel 9, and it's called Women in Football.
Women's Footy. Very original name. It's been fantastic. The feedback so far, everyone seems to love it. You know, there's a massive appetite for it, even though I think originally people thought, you know, perhaps women's sport and women's football wasn't going to rate well. I mean, every time they say that, it's proved wrong. So... you know, there's so many women out there who are just desperate to be acknowledged and to have, you know, people that they love, that they can look up to and aspire to and follow. And the whole saying, you can't be what you can't see. So having all these new role models, I think, has been superb. And, you know, the girls are getting better every week. I think this was definitely the best round we've had. You know, we had a really high-scoring game at Icon Park on Saturday between... and Carlton and the Western Bulldogs, and you know, it really was reflective of one of the men's games, which we don't really have to compare. But,
No, we shouldn't compare, Tiffany, because if you think about it, the men have been learning the game from very young, and they've had their various competitions through the minor grades. The women basically have come into this competition with next to no real preparation.
Well, that's it.
And so their efforts over the last half a dozen weeks have been remarkable.
Absolutely. And some of these girls, you know, haven't played football. Some of them have come from the code hoppers, have come from other sports, talented, and they're the ones that have trained probably professionally. But as I say, most of the girls haven't trained professionally.
Tiffany, has anything really surprised you?
Has anyone or any game?
No, I think has anyone surprised you with what they've had to contribute?
I think Erin Phillips has been remarkable. She's a Olympic silver medalist in basketball. She still plays in the WNBA, and she's a co-captain of Adelaide. She hadn't played a professional game in 3 years until 2021, and she's...
That phone of yours is just breaking up a little bit. While we see what we can do to correct that phone... Troy, you might like to add something here and ask maybe a question of Tiffany.
Yeah, absolutely, Tiff. It's Troy Zantuck. How are you?
Hey, Troy.
Look, I just wanted to... a great initiative through the week I was reading. They're creating the talent pathways to mirror the men's competition with an under-18 competition and national championship. So I think that's a fantastic initiative.
Yeah, that started this week. It's a 5-week competition, so there's 12 teams involved, the same as the TAC Cup. And pretty much it's, you know, it's a shorter competition for the girls. But as you said, it's exactly the same pathways. And that's what we need, as, you know, as George just alluded to, these girls are coming in with near to nothing in terms of professional preparation. And so we need to get them from a young age, give them every opportunity to hone their skills and to learn to be professional athletes, you know, and then obviously play like one. So... this is a fantastic initiative that's really giving them, you know, every opportunity to choose football or whatever other sport should they choose then to move on. But, you know, to choose football or being a professional athlete as a chosen field as they get older.
Tiff, Emma here.
Hey, Em.
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but were you personally surprised by how quickly success has arrived for the ladies' game?
I do get asked this a lot, and I have to say no, only because I've been following this for 20 years, as in women's sport, and in terms of the appetite, you know, that I know I've had people banging on my doors and, you know, asking to get it, to get coverage for their sport or whether I could do a story for them. I would say that I'm surprised by the intensity, like the media coverage in terms of the amount of media that are coming, and, you know, the we're getting over a million viewers tuning in to watch the coverage on TV, and I think that has surprised me in terms of the numbers tuning in. But I think the appetite is absolutely there, and it's only going to get bigger.
Okay, now let's put the pressure on you. The competition has been going for a few weeks, and as we know, it's not a full competition as such because there are only this number of teams involved. Who are the ones that are likely to take out the first ever title?
Sure. Well, we've got the two clear leaders. I mean, well, the leader at the moment is Brisbane. So we had many predicted to be the grand final pre-match. Yesterday in Adelaide, and that the Brisbane Lions travelled to Adelaide and they ended up winning a nail biter in the end. It came down to the wire. They came from behind in the last quarter and they won by 3 points. So that was huge in front of over 12,000 at Norwood. And I think those two, they've been the clear leaders from the outset. So the Lions haven't dropped a game, and the Crows have only dropped one, obviously, to the Lions yesterday. Carlton's the next best. They've dropped two games. They've got a big match next week. So we'll see what happens.
If you had to stick your neck out, where are you going? Who's going to climb it?
I actually think Adelaide, even though they dropped the match, I think they've really got, I mean, both sides, Brisbane and Adelaide, have just proven that they've got a huge amount of stars. I think, though, the experience in Adelaide will get them over the line.
So does that mean we're likely to see a grand final, say, at the Adelaide Oval?
Well, that's what the AFL has been speaking about this. They haven't actually said yet where the game will be held. But
so they're hedging their bets.
Of course they're hedging their bets.
Oh,
look,
dear.
Because at the start of the competition, you know, they said round one would be at Olympic Park, where it's only held 3,000.
Yeah, that would have been awful. You wouldn't have been able to drive past there. There would have been traffic galore.
Well, I think Bruce Springsteen was playing across the road. So there goes
the boss.
The parking anyway.
Well, you don't interfere with the boss. You know that.
No.
Exactly.
He's off limits.
It would have been good viewing and good listening, though. But,
yeah.
Look,
it would have been free.
I know, exactly. I think whether it's at played at the Gabba or at Adelaide Oval, you know, both hold in the vicinity of 50,000. That's a great number. You know, they're still saying that the grand final is going to be free, although it might be ticketed. Because they don't want to have, obviously, a lockout situation again. And I think the AFL has done a really good job in making it free, entry for everyone. You know, give people the appetite for this competition, let them come and see how good these girls are, and then get them addicted to it, you know, and then gradually bring in a cover charge, which obviously will then help to pay the girls and then to make it more professional.
Tiff, just on some of the games that I've seen, the standouts for me have been Brianna Davey, Ebony Marinoff, as you touched on, Erin Phillips, Karen Paxman, and Daisy Pierce. Very clean hands, Tiff.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had Jazzy Greer on the show today too, another girl that's got really clean hands. She plays with Daisy. And look, I think, you know, Paxi is a great one. Ebony Marinoff is a rising star. I think she's only 19, maybe 20, playing for the Adelaide Crows. She's impressed me every single game she plays. And as we said before, and I think my phone cut out, but Erin Phillips, you know, she's an Olympic silver medalist in basketball. She hadn't played a professional game of football in 3 years and then picked it up. And we know her dad was a superstar in Adelaide as well.
Tiffany, can I just interrupt you there for a moment?
Yep.
I saw her play in a charity game as a 14-year-old.
Well, there you go.
And she was best on ground.
Yeah, she's a
And there were grown men who had paid a whole lot of money to be there. And this young 14-year-old girl was so good. I remember saying to her father, who was beaming, a huge smile, big man, Greg Phillips. And I said to him, mate, if she was a boy, she'd be the number one draft pick. And he just sat there and smiled. So this is a magic moment for not only for the family, but for all those young women who've dreamt and never thought it would happen. And suddenly, here it is.
And also, we had a story on her today. She's a new mum. Her partner had the twins. But 14 weeks ago, they had twins. And, you know, so they were 9 weeks old when they kicked off. So she had a lot on her hands, but you know, she's an absolute gun. But all of the ones, Troy, that you just mentioned,
yeah.
And we saw Bree Davy yesterday. She's
difference makers.
Off a back injury.
They're difference makers.
Yeah, she had a heavy strapping, and she came out. She's a, you know, she's a goalkeeper for the Matildas. So some of the real stars are the ones that have come from other professional sports.
And the distances, Tiff, that Meg Hutchins kicks the ball, it's absolutely it's mind boggling.
55.
Yeah, 55, yeah, go easy.
Off a couple of steps. look, these girls can really play, you know. And then there is a bit of a difference between the top tier and then the next one down. But as the games are played,
it'll get better.
They get more. Yeah, absolutely. We'll see. I mean, the first game, you know, it was huge. Obviously, everyone was interested, big sellout crowd. But the competitive standard, I mean, there's been a couple of games that have been a bit poor, but generally the standard has just improved every week. And as I said, I think this week was outstanding, and it's only going to get better.
Yeah, correct.
You know, and if you watch the Lions and the Crows yesterday, that was just absolutely brilliant. And so was Carlton and Western Bulldogs. It was free-flowing. You know, it was goals galore, 15 goals kicked in that game. It was superb footy to watch.
Speaking of watching, if we want to watch the show, Women's Footy, on the Nine Network, what time?
Tune in. Well, they're changing it around the time for a little bit, but it's generally 11 o'clock, 11:30. Just check your guide. I think it's probably the best one. If you've got Foxtel, obviously look at the planner. It does change between half an hour each week because they're trying to give it as best running as they can into other programming. So, but it's certainly on a Sunday morning on Channel 9. Just check your program for
fantastic
details.
Tiffany thank Cherry, thank you people. For doing the work that you've been doing for years. You love the sport, and let me tell you, you bring a very special quality and a great deal of passion to it, which is super important.
Thanks, George.
And we wish you every success with it.
That was the highlight.
Thanks, Em.
Highlighted George's day, Tiff, seeing you down at Dundas and Fawcett today.
I know. I had my daughter destroy the place along with her friends, taking everywhere, but
they were having a great time.
We had a good lunch.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much, Tiff.
Thanks, Tiff.
Good night.
Isn't that great? Tiffany Cherry. A 9:45 on SEN. Yes, Miss Emma.
The final needs to be ticketed, do you think?
I would have thrown the doors open. Way you start the competition,
first year,
you finish. First year, yep.
Free.
And what, people, there's a lockout again, just like with the first game? People missing out?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, that's the hype. That's the excitement. If they want to get there early. 10:50. Sunday nights, the ultimate wrap for George, Emma and Troy. And Mr. Shebeki still on his way from Adelaide to come to Melbourne. He might even drop in, you know.
I hope he does, because Emma said during the break that you're doing a...
Oh, stop it.
No, you're doing a wonderful job.
Speaking of doing a
you're
great job,
Shebeks.
We asked some people to contact us if they had something interesting to say about KB, who is going to notch up a super milestone tomorrow. He's turning 70. And we got someone, I think it was Brett from St. Albans, said KB was also part of the original SCN. Yep, the Stone Age Entertainment Network. Cruel. Unfair. Grant Permit, I don't think that's an original name, is it? No, I think he's just throwing that up there. But he said he remembers KB tripping over the banner for game 400. Now,
that's
being a Sydney boy, I wouldn't have been around.
Good get.
Was that right?
Spot on.
I think that's prize-worthy, that text.
Well, there you go. There's an opportunity there. And speaking of prizes, one guy who continues to deliver for us whenever we talk tennis is Mark Sifoulis.
Yes.
So let's do that. Mark, good evening. Welcome to SCN's Ultimate Wrap. What have you got for us?
Oh, good evening, guys. Thanks again for having me. Hey, Emma, George and Troy. Great.
Mate, you're part of the show. You're part of the show,
you
Mark.
Are.
Oh, well, it's awesome to be welcomed like I have been, and I quite enjoy coming on a Sunday night.
Listen, Emma said must happen, and it's going to be done. So let's get on to the question that on everyone's lips.
Yeah.
Has Nick Kyrgios turned the corner?
Well, after round one of the Acapulco tournament, I would say no, where he had a big dispute with Duty Seller and some of Duty's crowd.
Howdy Duty.
Yeah, howdy Duty. He gave him an old howdy Duty salute to the crowd, and they weren't too impressed with our Nick, but Nick was fantastic throughout the week. And
So he survived and he got through to the semis?
He did. He survived, got through the semis, beat Novak Djokovic in the quarterfinal, and eventually lost to Sam Querrey, who actually today won the final against Rafael Nadal, who he's gone through unseeded Sam Querrey and beaten guys like Dominic Thiem, David Goffin, Nick Kyrgios, and Rafael Nadal. So pretty much four of the top 20 players in the world. So it's a fantastic effort.
We should also say that Querrey has done this before. He occasionally goes walkabout, and he's he might miss a seeding, and then he'll come along and he'll win four or five.
He strings games together.
Well, I saw him play Andy Murray at the Australian Open, and it was a very tight affair, and Murray was playing some terrific return of tennis, and I thought to myself, this Querrey guy, he has some game, and everyone went, oh, here we go, Nick's fallen over to an unseated tennis player, but that's not the case because he went on and he beat Nadal in the final.
Yeah, he's a super player, Sam Querrey. He's one of those players. He's got a big serve and a big forehand, and you know anything can happen on any day with Sam. He's a different character.
That's a good point. That's a good way of describing him.
Yeah, he's a very weird sort of a fella actually off the court too. So, but he's a fantastic player and one never to be underestimated.
Mark, interesting news with Tomek this week. Did he?
Yeah,
really
we're talking about characters. That's a good question.
Did he really retire in 28 degree heat?
Yeah, it was stifling in 28 degree heat.
The Acapulco heat wave, Mark.
Oh, mate.
It was desert type conditions over there in Acapulco, and obviously no water or shade there for Bernard. But
What we should play for you? Fun in Acapulco with Elvis Presley. Because that's the last time I saw anything that remotely looked hot coming out of that part of Mexico.
Yeah, it was quite.
Did you say 28 degrees?
Yeah, it was 28 degrees, and look, you know, it's interesting. I think there's something going on behind the scenes with Bernie. This is not usual for any player, and he's retired. I think they've said he's retired 12 times in his career, in a 303-match career, and Federer has never retired from a match in over 1,200 matches. So quite interesting stat where, I'm not sure what's going on with Bernie.
I think we should say that weekends at Bernie's are very different places to be. Very different places to be.
But I think he only can play on weekdays.
Mark, listen, you've raised some interesting topics, which is what you do every time we get you on board. But there are a whole series of questions have been asked the last few days about Maria Sharapova's wild card offering from a host of the top players.
Yeah.
Explain, give us an insight there.
Yeah, look, Andy Murray's come out this week, actually, and he's the world number one male player, and he said that I think you should really have to work your way back. He's told a few newspapers, and he said, however, the majority of tournaments are going to do what they think is best for their event, and if they think big names there is going to sell more seats, then they're going to do that. So Andy Murray's pretty much weighing in, saying that you've got to earn your right to be back in the main draw. And look, you know, it's a controversial topic, and we're seeing a lot of the banned Essendon players coming back in the AFL, and there's a lot of likenings to that sort of scenario where they've done their time, and now they're also doing their time within their club to try and earn the respect back of their players. And I think Maria is going to probably walk into the first few, but the French Open have actually said they're not.
Hello, did we pay Mark's phone bill there, or has he just decided that was enough of his rap? Are you there, Mark? Mark Sifoulis, giving us an in-depth, of what's been going on in the tennis world. Marco, did you pay the bill or not?
Let me tell you, every week I come on, I get cut off, so I'm not sure what's going on.
I did not cut you off.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure if I'm talking crap on this one.
Bernard Tomic sabotaging the phone lines?
Probably a member of the family, not very happy with the inferences you made.
Can I ask a question, Mark? Look, Andy Murray. Now, he played, I caught a little bit of it. I was doing a bit of channel surfing late at night. Saved an incredible 7-match points in the semis. I think it was Philip Kohlschreiber that he was playing.
What an amazing tiebreaker. He was down a set. He was 7-match points down against Philip Kohlschreiber of Germany, and they played a 31-minute tiebreaker, which is just unheard of.
Wow.
And eventually Murray ended up winning the match. That was a quarterfinal match, and then Murray's gone on to win the tournament. So it's a pretty big match, 7-match points saved to win an ATP event, and the first time a Brit's ever won that event.
Kohlschreiber was, he was, the clean hitting of Kohlschreiber was quite incredible, wasn't it?
He's phenomenal. Yeah. That one-handed backhand he's got, he's just outstanding. He's not a tall guy at all. You know, pretty small in stature, but let me tell you, he can pack a punch with a lot of those balls he plays. And, you know, pretty much had Murray on the ropes and just couldn't knock him down.
And Sir Andy eventually knocked over Fernando Verdasco?
He did. He won in the final today. And, you know, it's just a great show of what a number one player really does. And they stand up when they need to. And it's just a good test of character for Andy. He's a super player and has had a great 12 months. And I think having Ivan Lendl in his corner is the thing that he needs. He needs to be... seems to be kept in line and kept in check, and Ivan does that pretty well.
Mark, well done. Great opportunity to give us an idea of what's happened over the past week in the world of tennis. Some terrific stories there, some great insight, and even with the lost moment where that phone call of yours entered was it Bermuda Triangle?
There's been 58 of those moments so far.
Yeah.
Rest assured, we will send you a new burner phone.
Thanks,
next week.
Yeah, they're putting me on mute very often on this show, so I'm hopefully one day I get through an entire segment without being put on mute. But just also for those out there, please keep an eye on Ash Barty. Come back after 12 months out of the game. She's playing the final at the moment in Kuala Lumpur, and she's 4-1 up with a match suspended with rain. So keep an eye on that result overnight.
Will do. Thank you, Mark. Mark Sifoulis, part of the Ultimate Wrap on SEN. It's coming up to 10 o'clock, and for those of you wondering what's happening in the Test cricket, Australia leads by 48 runs. We've lost another wicket in the meantime. It's 6 for 237. The not-out batsman, young Wadey, Matthew Wade, is currently 25. He's been there for quite some time. And Mr. Stark, that humongous fast bowler who can bat a bit, is starting to hit the ball again.
Yeah.
He's 14 runs in 13
He's
balls.
He's becoming a potent weapon, George.
He is. Very good point. Very good point. But the Indians are not making it easy. We're only 48 in front. We need at least 150. I wonder if we have the batting stocks to make it happen. We'll find out. In the meantime, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to catch up with someone who knows a whole lot more than most of us in this studio about the EPL. Good evening. It's 4 minutes after 10. It's a Sunday night, and yes, this is the Ultimate Wrap. And if you're wondering why we didn't have Tony Shubecki in that introduction, it's because that he's been gallivanting around the supercar circuit.
He likes to gallivant.
Now, did he go to Adelaide or did he end up in Sydney?
Exactly. That is the question.
Now, Emma seems to think in the green room that he may have ended up in Oxford Street. So, have we got him on the line?
I think we need to go to the source to establish once and for all. Where have you been, Tony Shubecki?
Oh, hang on, but let's establish something straight off the top of the bat here. I'm out of the show for 1 week and my name's off the credits. What the hell has happened there?
Well, Emma, you know what Emma said to us?
Emma.
If we take him out of the credits, he'll be back in a flash.
Now, speaking of Emma, something funny happened. I've arrived at the airport.
Oh, here we go. Bring it on.
Was there a police escort?
This guy came up to me and he said, "Are you Tony Shubecki from this year?" I said, "Yes, I am, mate." He said, "I just went out with Emma, not a Francesco."
Yeah, right.
He was a copper.
You're hilarious.
Love it.
Actually,
love
can
it.
We hang on for 1 sec? Because my wife's ringing me. She's meant to be picking me up.
Oh, that's all right. We'll just hold thanks, Tony.
Nothing else to do.
No. Can we play some Tony Shubecki?
Have we got any sensational Tony Shubecki darting around music? Yeah. For those of you wondering, Tony Shubecki is actually one of the key ingredients of the Ultimate Wrap. But every now and then he wants to, you know, go off and test himself in other markets.
Emma, had you in the host seat, George?
Hey!
Is that Tony Shubecki?
Yes, I'm back.
G'day.
Shebex, can you just confirm firstly where on earth you are?
Well, I'm at Tullamarine Airport. I've just landed.
From?
From Adelaide.
Thank you.
My wife just rang me to say that she's here, but I can't find her, and I think she might have just been moved on.
Tony's wife, if you can hear us, he's waiting for you at the terminal.
Now, you would have thought that his wife would be listening to the Ultimate Rap.
You would think so.
To get the lowdown on where her husband is.
Yeah.
So, sorry. So, if you're listening.
You can hear me. I'm still here.
Why don't you make a plea to your wife?
Sorry,
Tony.
Tony can't come to the phone right now.
Love it. Fantastic. Mate, did you enjoy Adelaide?
Yeah, no, it was good. The Clipsal event, as Emma will probably attest to, is just an amazing event. It's a great way to start. Yeah, and once again, it was just some ripper racing, good crowds. I think we had 75,000 to 80,000 on each of the days. Fantastic
it's
weather.
Huge.
Probably a bit too hot on Saturday for the guys in the car. I think it got to about 33 degrees. Which means there was probably about
50 in the car, yeah.
The cars, yeah.
And a few cool suits fouling as well.
Burn Atomic wouldn't have turned up.
he would have quit at 25 degrees.
Exactly. So the guys jumped straight in the ice bars as soon as they hopped out of the cars just to give themselves an opportunity to cool down. But it was good racing. Shane Van Gisbergen picked up from where he left off. He's an amazing driver. I've always said, Troy will tell you, you put the best driver in the best car with the best team and they're going to be very hard to beat, no matter what motorsport it is. And this Triple Eight outfit, this Red Bull Holden Racing Team outfit with Shane Van Gisbergen, is going to be very hard to beat every race.
Tony Shebeki, tell us, what did you learn? It's no longer the Clipsal 500. It's going to be what?
Well, we tried to find out, but they wouldn't tell us. They just said that they've been negotiating with a lot of companies, and at the moment they don't have a sponsor outlined. There is a possibility, though, that it could be a chain of petrol stations called
Really?
On the Run or On the Go, I think, over in Adelaide.
Okay.
So there is an opportunity that may be the case, but yeah, still nothing concrete from the government as to who the new sponsor will be. They said they will have an answer for us on that within the next 2 months.
Well, there you go. What was the most surprising thing for you on the weekend?
I'll tell you what was the most surprising thing for me is that 16-year-old Alex Rullo just did an amazing job.
Finished both races?
Yeah, well, he finished both races. His car came back unscathed, which was fantastic.
Didn't his cool suit fail at one stage as well, and then he jumped back out there?
Yeah, 16-year-old to still have the brains to continue to do what he was doing and do it well without a cool suit. And his fastest time was only 0.4 or 0.5 of a second slower than Simona Di Silvestro's fastest time. And, I mean, she's a fairly seasoned driver. So good on him.
He's
16 years of age. He'll get his license again for another race, because he's on a race-by-race basis at the moment as they evaluate his driving, and he'll do okay. I think he will grow into a nice little driver.
What was your disappointment of the weekend? Other than missing your wife when you arrived at the airport?
One of my biggest disappointments, George, I think, was Saturday's race and the fact that it just didn't prove to be as exciting, I think, is probably the word to use, as what
it became a procession? Is that what it was?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it really did. It became a real procession where Van Gisbergen... Row.
By the way, for those of you that don't know, Row is his wife.
No, look, Tony...
So he's not going outside the marketplace there.
He was going, row your boat gently down the stream.
Has Row acknowledged that you're there?
He has, and she stopped. I'm putting my bags in the car as we speak.
Oh.
And hang on, I'll jump in.
Yeah, don't mind us. We're just
beautiful.
Yeah, this is the SEN Ultimate Wrap on a Sunday night with Emma Notta-Francesco, George Tanikian, and Troy Zantuck. And on the phone, via the latest technology we can offer you, Tony Shebeki, live from Adelaide.
Oh, no, not live in Melbourne.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Did you have a ride of the carousel, Shebeks?
What carousel?
Tony rolls off. There's none of this carousel stuff for him.
No, it was carry on, carry off. There was no waiting for baggage. I'm above that, Troy.
Oh, there's plenty in here.
Yeah. That's the truth.
All right, mate.
So,
well,
apart from a disappointing Saturday, no real major disappointments. The racing was pretty good, and the support categories were just also great. I mean, there was some great Porsche Carrera Cup racing. And it was good to see a guy called Andre Heimgartner, who effectively has finished in the sort of the bottom six or seven, bottom ten of each of his V8 supercar races last year.
Well, we thought he was going to get an LDM seat, didn't we?
Well, he did, and lucky he didn't, really, because he's got an opportunity now to actually show that he can drive in the Porsche Carrera Cup, and he did that winning this weekend. So a great effort by him to get a win finally under his belt. I asked him the question. I said, is there a difference battling for a win as opposed to actually being down the back of the field all the time? Mm. He said, it's a massive difference. He said, the pressure's amazing. Guys are coming at you left, right and centre.
Mm.
So, yeah, good on him. Well done.
And good on you, mate. Thank you very much for not only finding your wife at a critical time upon landing back in Tullamarine, Drive carefully, and we now look forward to seeing you next weekend.
Next Sunday, I look forward to it too, guys.
On your mate. Tony Shebeki.
Safe travel, Shebeki.
The fourth wheel of this machine called the Ultimate Wrap on SEN. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to give you an idea of what's happening in the cricket. We're still 48 in front, 6 for 237. Matthew Wade and Stark are the two not-out bats, 25 and 14 respectively, and we're still needing to gather a few more runs. But at the moment, I'm reliably informed it's the reason there are no more runs, it's stumps. So just if you're wondering.
That's a general indication that there will be no more runs, George.
That's right. Not unless we're talking about Matty Renshaw. by the way, we have had some interesting results in the football and in the A-League, but we want to find out a bit more about the EPL, which is getting to a really exciting phase in the competition. We've had some amazing results overnight, and we'll talk about them with someone who does know his way around the EPL. I'm talking about Darren Lewis, the Mirror's main man, who has not only knows his stuff, but gets some of the best stories going around. I want to ask him about what he saw in the Man United game when they played Bournemouth. There was a howdy-doody moment with young Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who should have been sent off for an elbow.
Was it a stray elbow or a...
Stray. Would a man by the name of Zlatan throw a stray anything?
Well, there's never an intentional. It's always a stray elbow.
Oh, I see.
Isn't
it? Okay. Is this part of your AFL background showing?
Correct.
Okay. You would remember those dark days in the AFL when there was only there weren't enough cameras to cover all the action.
Well, elbows were sharpened pre-game.
there was a guy who had quite a fearsome reputation, played in the SANFL, David Granger. His nickname was Grave Danger.
Grave Danger,
and there were reasons
like it.
For that nickname. Yeah, because he would be sent on to do some devious deeds, and normally it was all for Port Adelaide.
So he's the Grim Reaper of the Sandford.
Some people might say that. Speaking of very special people and people who know their way around the EPL, let's find out what's happening and what the state of play is with some of the biggest names and the biggest teams in the world. Darren Lewis, the Mirror man, or the Mirror's main man in the EPL, joins us from the United Kingdom. Darren, good to have you on board.
Thank you very much indeed. I was a little bit worried there that you were going to say, speaking of the Grim Reaper.
No. for those of you that don't know of Darren, and I can't believe no one knows, everyone would know Darren. You see him on Shootout on Fox Sport regularly.
Yes.
He does his dash as often as he can. By the way, I haven't seen the program tonight. How many did you win or lose this time, Darren?
I had 2 out of 3.
Whoa!
Wow.
This week. Hey, that's good.
That's meat lifestyle. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, Darren.
Absolutely.
Now, Darren, we have a most charming member of the Ultimate Rap Crew. Her name is Emma, and she wants to know how a big man who's about 6'5" called Zlatan Ibrahimovic can go around and throw elbows like he did and not get sent off.
Well, it's interesting though, and with a nod to yourself, Emma. You will know all about this line from a very famous rapper who says, he's got 99 problems, Zlatan. The pitch isn't normally one of them. But on this occasion, he had a nightmare. Because I think as far as the penalty that he missed late on was concerned, a great chance to get all 3 points, he'll have nightmares. Well, he probably won't have nightmares about a man of his confidence. But the elbow on Tyrone Mings in that game, and obviously the stamp from Mings on Zlatan in that game, they are going to be in big trouble. And the big question, and one that I posed a second ago on Shootout, I'm not long out of the studio from there, is that how on earth did the referee not pick up either incident? Because both of them are red card offences.
Well, Darren, what fascinates me is that there are linesmen now and they're all mic'd up and they're supposedly talking to one another. So another two men who didn't see anything happen.
And the significance of that decision is then that controversy is that I showed on the Shootout a headline, which is across one of the national newspapers over here, which says simply hangover. A number of referees were on a stag do for another referee called Anthony Taylor, in Marbella. And so on the back of that stag do, you have a match involving Manchester United of all clubs, where you make a poor decision like that involving a superstar, probably the biggest superstar in the Premier League. So I think Kevin Friend, who was the official in that game, who had been on that stag do, he may find himself not officiating in the top flight next weekend, but I think he may well have a little bit of a headache as well.
Nothing good comes from a stag do, does it? Let's be honest, Darren. You're either handcuffed to a phone pole or...
Or a telegraph post.
Just to kind of continue this on, I mean, because yes, and I trust me, I've been on a few stag do's myself where the groom ends up handcuffed to a railing, with a little bit of a chill blasting through his nether regions. No mobile phone, indeed. One of the other referees, and this is why this story is so significant. One of the other referees at that stag do, Anthony Taylor, he refereed the game between... Yes, exactly. You really couldn't make this up. He refereed the game between Swansea and Burnley. A Burnley player handled the ball from a set piece in the box. Anthony Taylor gave a penalty to Swansea. Whatever they were drinking,
Darren,
on that stag do, I have a big pint of it.
They call it post-stag do syndrome.
Darren, you said earlier, you can't make this stuff up. But you know what? Can't. It's happening week in, week out. In the EPL, though, you can go to the video after. That is, the tribunal can assess what actually transpired in the game. Do you think both players will be handcuffed? with a penalty, I'm suggesting.
I think in the rules on stag do football. look at the video stag do to see.
We wanted an in-depth interview, and I've got to say, we've got one.
You know, there's the things that you learn watching the game. I've learned over the weekend, especially over the last day and a half, that there are people in the world who know all about Liverpool, and they will tell you before the game what the result will be. I thought people like that didn't exist. I thought if you're going to go that far, you should be called Nostradamus. We have a producer who said to me 2 days ago, it'll be Liverpool 3, Arsenal 1 or 0. How does he do that? Did you think this was going to happen?
Can you ask that producer, if I leave you my telephone number, if he could give me the lottery number, very grateful indeed. So would my bank manager.
What are the papers made of Liverpool's bounce up to third with that win over Arsenal?
Well, the Mail on Sunday here in the UK is very straightforward. Sorry, Wenger is humiliated. And I think that is a very accurate description of what happened to Arsene Wenger yesterday, because I think, as we all know, when you panic, you make poor decisions. And the decision to leave Alexis Sanchez, 17 goals so far this season, tied with Harry Kane and Romelu Lukaku, both of whom face each other in the Spurs-Everton game that I'm on my way to now. He's been involved, Sanchez, in 26 goals so far this season, either scored or assisted. You don't leave a footballer like that out of your team when you're going to Anfield.
Darren, isn't this the want away Alexis Sanchez?
It is indeed.
Maybe Arsene Wenger was channeling Antonio Conte and what had gone on with his striker when he wanted to go to play in China.
There's a huge difference between the two. Chelsea well on course.
Yeah. Arsene may need to step onto the Wenger bus, Darren, I think.
I think the Wenger bus might well be pulling away without him. If his luck is anything to go by, he'll probably miss it. There's a fantastic meme doing the rounds on Twitter of what the Barcelona bench might look like. Because remember, he's been saying, if I don't manage at Arsenal, I'll manage somewhere else. People have linked him with Barcelona. And on this image, the Barcelona bench would have Neymar, Messi, Suarez.
It just goes on and on and on.
Absolutely, because you just do not leave a player of Sanchez's calibre out of big matches. And I think as far as Arsene Wenger was concerned, the defeat yesterday just left so many people saying, if you really care about Arsenal, you would walk away now and not leave them to, not to finish in the top four. Because if they don't, and they're in the Europa League, Sanchez does not do Europa League. Why should you at 20 years of age, 28 years of age, when you're as good as you are? Other players at the club will also walk away and join other clubs that are sniffing around them. I think this is an impending disaster. They're out of the top four, and I would be very surprised myself if they were to make it back in, because their confidence is so fragile and so many teams are taking advantage.
So, Darren, who do you think will make the top four?
Well, I think teams that are defensively stable are more likely to make the top four than the likes of Arsenal, as I say, who have such a fragile confidence. Chelsea will win the league for me. I think Spurs will finish second because they're undefeated so far this season at home. I think Manchester United will make it into the top four, undefeated also, despite that drop. Those drop points yesterday, undefeated in the Premier League since October. And I also think Manchester City will make it into the top four. Liverpool, for me, I don't think you can get into the top four if you've got a dodgy keeper and you can't defend, which probably does bring in City as well. But I just think City have got more going forward. And for me, City have got different ways to play when things aren't going their way. And they have a super striker in Sergio Aguero. I think Liverpool only have one way to play. And I also think the Liverpool players are shot to pieces because of the training regime that Klopp has introduced there. Sometimes they train at night. Lots of people find it very controversial indeed, and I would tend to agree. I think Liverpool were lucky to face a poor Arsenal side just today, but I don't think they'll finish in the top four.
Moving to the bottom of the ladder, can you give us any updates on poor Leicester City and how they're tracking in terms of their possible relegation?
Well, you know, that's a really interesting one because I've been banging on for some time on the shootout about the fact that the Leicester players
back to the stag
do not...
Like the stag do, yes. He just went on and on and on.
I knew we'd get back there. Good on you, Darren.
You're enjoying that one.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, Claudio Ranieri, you could actually argue if we're going to continue the theme that the players have been on the stag do all season. But last season, they were sensational in the EPL and absolutely enthralled all of us because we were willing them to win. This season, they have been on a winter break, an autumn break. They've just not turned up so far this season. The widely held view was that they didn't want to play for Claudio Ranieri. You can only look at the last two results and come to that conclusion because against Liverpool last Monday night, they were absolutely sensational. Three goals, one conceded. One of the goals was brilliant. Jamie Vardy looking like the footballer of the year from last season. Yesterday, the player of the year, Riyad Mahrez, only his fourth goal so far this season, first goal since November in the EPL. And he looked, again, sensational. They have turned up in the last two games. It's horrendous that players should be allowed to do that, but they have big egos. They obviously fancy themselves a bit more now that they've won the league and they've got their big, fat new contracts, and they determine now who comes in and who manages them, and they've grown fed up of Claudio Ranieri. And, you know, you mentioned the word relegation in your question. I don't think they'll be anywhere near the relegation zone by the end of the season. They'll be in the top 10. Which is where they probably would have been had they sacked Claudio Ranieri any sooner. I think as far as they are concerned, those Leicester players, they need to have a long look at themselves because they've got a good man sacked.
Let's do Darren's dash. We've got Tottenham playing Everton tonight. Who wins?
Okay. Tottenham undefeated at home so far this season, I was saying, but Lukaku... irresistible up front, 17 goals. The one thing that counts against Everton is that Spurs also have a 17-goal striker themselves in Harry Kane, who's got a great understanding with Dele Alli behind him, except for the occasion last week where Dele Alli lost his mind and got himself sacked from the Europa League, but we'll gloss over that. I think Spurs will win. I think it'll be a cracking game. I'm hoping it is because I'm on my way there, as I say. But I think Spurs will win.
Sunderland at the bottom of the competition, basically holding up all the other EPL sides. up against Man City, who really need to continue this this form that they've just started to get onto.
Mm. Yeah, Sergio Aguero looked a little bit worried when Gabriel Jesus came into the side because Pep Guardiola described the young Brazilian forward as the future of Manchester City. And then he got injured, and Aguero was back, and he is, alongside the likes of Alexis Sanchez, is one of the great strikers in world football at the moment. When you've got a player like him, you've always got a chance of achieving your ambitions. I think City will win today because Sunderland are terrible. I normally like to be a bit more constructive than that, but it simply cannot defend, and they've got Jermaine Defoe up front holding down the fort all by himself in terms of scoring goals. I fully expect City to go there and score probably 2 or 3.
And the last question before we let you go, we're talking to Darren Lewis, who is the Mirror's man, talking football, the EPL in the United Kingdom. He's been doing a fantastic job for quite some time with Fox Sport, and he's doing a sensational job channeling all those stag parties he's been to.
Absolutely, and I'll get to ask Darren a question next week.
Yeah, absolutely. West Ham plays Chelsea tomorrow. Who wins?
Tough game, you know. Because on the face of it, you would say Chelsea winning by a streak up front at the top of the EPL should win it. But they don't cope very well with goals in the air. Fernando Llorente scored for Swansea against him the other week. And Andy Carroll will be playing up front for West Ham tomorrow. I think West Ham will have a tactic of slinging balls into the box and seeing if Chelsea can cope. I think this might be a draw, you know. If there is going to be one that I miss out, it'll probably be this one. But I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think West Ham will get a point from Chelsea tomorrow.
Darren Lewis, you've been superb. Thank you very much for joining us on The Ultimate Wrap. Emma is going to be watching much more of you on Fox Sports. And if we can get you back to help us out as this season just gets towards the most meaningful part of the competition the last few weeks, we'd love to have you back on.
It would be an absolute pleasure, not a problem.
Thank you, and enjoy the game.
Yep.
Thanks, Darren.
All the best.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks, Darren.
All the best.
It's great, great listening to you.
29 after 10 on SEN. Isn't that wonderful? Did we just get Tony Shebeke back in there, did we? I love
did
that.
Did we?
Yeah. And The Ultimate Wrap brought to you by Northern Jeep, Australia's number one dealer, and Jetport Airport Parking, who make it as simple as can be when you need to park and fly from Tullamarine. Now, one of the segments on the show, yes, Emma?
I just wanted to remind everyone that we've still got prizes going for our SMS and our callers tonight.
Wind them
so
up.
0433981116, or you can call us on 9429 1116. Tweet us too, at The Ultimate Wrap.
Why don't you do that? The thing that fascinates me is that you've been telling us for hours now, and I thought I was going to listen. You want to see that segment, brought back into life. That's, I can't believe I saw that. Mm-hmm. Right?
It's a goodie.
Okay, so
I like yours this week though. Yours is the best. I wanted
you
your
think?
One. Yeah,
well,
I thought,
I thought we'd let the audience tell us what they thought.
Okay.
But the one that I couldn't believe was the Crystal Palace supporters, who were so confused the season they've had thus far. You wouldn't believe it. They inadvertently vandalised their own team bus. They thought it belonged to their opponents prior to the game being played at Selhurst Park. The only positive to emerge from all this, they actually won on the field. So their bus doesn't
and they'll
look
get
so
a new
good.
Bus.
Not so much.
When we talk about vandalised, George, what type of vandalism are we talking?
Oh, we're talking about daubing and leaving strange words on bus tags and other words on the bus. Yeah, yeah, no, they didn't miss anybody on that bus.
So no smashing of back windows or letting down of tyres or any...
No, I believe that the majority of the damage was wonderfully worded graffiti all over the bus.
So
and clearly to directed it at their opponents. And only to find out that it was their bus.
So they used Dorbman's paint.
Look at him go.
As distinct from the other one, yeah?
As distinct from Taubman's.
Taubman's.
Thank you very much.
Now, what was the thing that drove you nuts to say, I couldn't believe I saw that?
Well, it was more, I can't believe I read this in the Herald Sun this week. Police...
Stick to the title, mate.
I can't believe...
Tim, And Adam, our producer and our panel operator, I'm getting a chance to have a talk. I'm talking, believe it or not. I'm on air. And Francesco, Nodder, interrupts me. Can I have some clear air here, please? Thank you very much, George.
I'm very happy to let you just
hang on.
Deliver.
Tell you what. Police seek public help to catch Bert. Oh, I can't get no respect. No respect. Police seek public help to catch burglars who stole a beehive from Coburg. It was taken from Mark's Street Yard between Feb 24th and 26th. The hive contained about 50,000 bees and is marked with the serial number H257. Police would be interested in speaking with anyone who has seen people wearing beekeeping clothing in the area or know of people with a large amount of bee stings, a spokeswoman said. Titled Bee Alert, and I've got to say, this show is bewildering and I'm befuddled. Troy Zantuck signing off.
Oh, that's great.
And that concludes my contribution to the show at 10:37 and 4
coming,
seconds.
Mate.
Thank you. Should we include it in the thumbs up, thumbs down segment? The fact that you struggled to get any airtime. Emma.
Yeah.
You notice he's done now. He's just going to sit in the corner.
I'm eagerly awaiting Emma's.
We're sorry, Troy. Well, I actually stuck to the title. Mine's a video.
Okay.
The title is, I can't believe I saw that.
No. Right, okay.
And what was it that you...
Oh, sorry, I spoke. Sorry.
Well, in AFLW, obviously the Lions are absolutely killing it. Kate McCarthy, I don't know if you saw her goal kicking, one of the goals of the season, 70 metres out. She pulled the ball up, got through the traffic, bounced it twice, and then goaled it from 30 metres. It was epic. And definitely one of the best goals of the season for AFLW.
And it will be, it will be without a doubt, the one we see over and over again, especially as this competition winds down and we get to the grand final. Where do you think the grand final should be played?
Oh, God, you'd love to have it in Melbourne. The problem is that weekend, the schedule in Melbourne, it's crazy.
Just remind me again, who kicked that goal?
Kate McCarthy.
Let's see if we can channel... Kate, and see if she can just replay that for us.
Hagen's a good one. Dispossessed. Chance now. The handball came from Bates. Going forward. Anderson running back with it. Quick little give. Here's good. Here's the speed stop. Kate McCarthy, we've seen her do it a couple of weeks ago. With four bounces, here she goes now. And she's throwing it through.
I love it when the boys get excited.
I know.
Eh? Now the next thing we need to see and hear are female commentators. What do you think about that?
Absolutely.
Is that the next thing we're likely to see?
Oh, well, Kelly Underwood's doing a tremendous job.
Yeah.
She's a true professional. She does a wonderful job, whether she's on TV. And I love her work on the back page. And she's been calling the AFLW games. And
she's been calling the AFL as well.
Yeah, hats off to Kelly. She does a wonderful job. And I could actually see Emma, not a Francesco, in that role.
There you go. Have you ever contemplated calling the AFLW?
I haven't. No. Thanks, Troy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, on other interesting developments, we've got someone who is knows the sport of UFC, but I don't think we're going to be able to catch up with him. What I'm going to do while I take that moment, the Hyundai A-League round has been completed, and we saw some interesting results over the last few days. And the result I was waiting for today involved Melbourne City.
Yes.
And the Central Coast Mariners. The match was played in Gosford, and you wouldn't believe it, it had everything. I'm talking about red cards, deflections, own goals.
Exploding sauce bottles,
goalkeeper sent off. Anything that could happen in a football game just about did happen. Except for a flare. I don't think there were any flares.
Was it a jail card for the Melbourne City boys?
That's a very good question.
Two zipperoony up and just cruising, and then it got to a level pegging.
Yeah, look, well, two deflections. That's luck. The game these days with the way they play it, and it's played at breakneck speed. Mm. If you get caught out, you know, you can very easily cop a goal. And both goals came off the knee of young Ruan Tonjic, who would be sitting there on his way back to Melbourne thinking, why me? Probably because he's smart enough to read the play and gets in front of the ball.
But life's all about deflections, George. Well, not not in my case.
No. But the weekend round started, of course, Friday night. The big blue contest between Sydney and Victory. Oh. Victory.
Very disappointed.
Well, you're a big Victory fan. Mm. They played okay. They had their moments.
Well, they did.
But Sydney emerged victorious. Mm-hmm. Wellington nearly threatened to cause the big upset of the round by downing Perth, but it wasn't to be. Mm. Perth, with Diego Castro and a number of other players, just came back. Keogh scored a terrific goal. So they ended up 3-3. For the third time this year, they've ended a game 3-3. Western Sydney Wanderers and Adelaide finished 0-0. As I said today, City got up over the Central Coast Mariners, and more importantly, a brace from the captain, Bruno Fornaroli, who has been much maligned over the last few weeks. Oh. Well, he answered in the best possible fashion.
A brace.
Well, yeah. Well, scoring a winner too helps. And, of course, in the other game, as we alluded to earlier, Brisbane Roar came up with all the points, beating Newcastle. So the top four at the moment is Sydney, of course, way in front, followed by Victory. And about the next position is City on 33 points, and they're ahead of Brisbane Roar, who are also on 33 on goal difference. Mm. So that's the A-League wrap as we saw it.
And that concludes my AFL wrap, George. Thank you very
much. Oh, come on. I said to you before, just have fun
with
it.
Come on, Troy.
Come on, Troy.
We want to hear your rap.
You know, if oh, hello.
Let's be quiet throughout this whole wrap. Let's let him have
a go. Okay, some of the big issues around the AFL this week. 4 years as AFL football operations boss, Mark Evans has now been appointed club chief executive of the Gold Coast Suns. It's a good get by the Suns, an analytical and pragmatic thinker. And Simon Lethlean now taking over the AFL ops boss's role. And Simon Lethlean, one of the major architects of the AFLW. So you think this
is a reward for his efforts?
Oh, absolutely.
Such a great job.
He's a very intelligent man, Simon Lethlean. So hats off to him. Port Adelaide during the week, their president, David Koch, not happy. Tony Cochran, the Gold Coast Suns prez over the Gold Coast wearing red and gold jumpers.
Former CEO of the V8 Supercars.
Yes.
Same guy, isn't it?
Same guy.
Yeah.
Not happy about the red and gold jumpers in their Shanghai match. Koch said, Power has paid them $500,000 for all rights to the game. A real Shanghai surprise there, M, for the Gold Coast Suns. The Brisbane Lions have appointed Dane Beams captain, taking the reins from Tommy Rockliffe, who will vice-captain the team, with Dane Zorko, who is in scintillating form in the JLT series, as their deputy vice-captain. The GWS Giants have signed 2011 number one draft pick Jonathan Patton until the end of 2020. The 23-year-old had a career-best season last year, kicking 38 goals and stringing 23 games together. A very, very good signing there, Jonathan Patton. And finally, Gil McLaughlin. Hopeful there is a Tasmanian team in the Women's League. He says sooner rather than later.
That's great.
Are you serious? They haven't believed that they could get an men's AFL team. Men's team, but they think they can get a women's team up.
Yeah, I'd love to see a Tassie women's team in the AFLW competition.
That'd
be tremendous.
That'd be awesome.
The other thing I read this week, Troy, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this, ticket prices going up for Anzac Day.
Yeah.
To, I think, $60.
Are we talking about Collingwood fans or are we talking about Essendon fans? Or both fans? Both sets of fans have to pay more money.
Yeah.
I
think they're looking at big clashes like that going forward.
So there's going to be a surcharge for big games.
Possibly. Just.
Yeah. Oh, dear. With all the good PR that the AFL gets, this might come back to bite them. Mind you, the game is huge, and people do see it.
People will pay.
Yeah, they will pay.
Or if you take a beehive with 50,000 bees into the MCG, you might get stung.
It's 11:15. You're listening to The Ultimate Wrap, brought to you by Jetport Airport Parking and the good people at Northern Jeep. And Mr. Shebeki, who's been doing some wonderful work, even when he's not here, talking about two of our sponsors, namely Jetport Airport Parking and Northern Jeep, the number one dealers in the country. You were going to say something, Miss Emma.
Was I?
Yes.
Was I really?
Normally at this time of the Ultimate Wrap, you come back and you say to us where the responses we gave you earlier for your dilemma.
An update on my dilemma.
Has there been any update in the time that we've discussed it?
Well, no, I haven't.
Any texting?
I haven't heard anything, so I'm thinking it's over.
Yeah.
it was short-lived.
Don't say that. I'm tearing up.
Is it possibly?
Okay. But he's made the right move.
Get out while you can.
Oh, dearie me. Someone says here, there's still a few question marks hanging over Query. That's Brett from
like
Zorbans.
That. Very
That's
done.
A good one. And Brett, you're actually going to win one of our prizes. Congratulations.
Whoa.
Fantastic.
Hello.
We have another prize going to Grant Permit. Tripping over the banner, game 400 is what we're talking
and that's,
about.
And that's talking about KB, who celebrates a huge milestone tomorrow. He turns 70. I wonder what we've got planned on the morning program.
Oh, well, tune in, 9 o'clock.
Will we cut the cake? Do you think occupational health and safety will allow us to bring a cake in here with 70 candles?
We'll need to be a scarab to cut that to cut the cake. But I hope KB has a great day. It's a big milestone.
It's a huge milestone.
It's a big 7-0.
Yeah. We met someone today who's turning also 75 tomorrow.
Michael Spartels.
Yeah, the Spartel family would be rejoicing because he looks terrific. 75, and they say in the storybooks, in Greek, you'd say, tu, don't jinx him. He looks fantastic, and we caught up with him today, and he's very pleased that he and the great man KB share a birthday.
Share a birthday.
So one's 75, and the other one's going to turn 70. Fantastic stuff. It's almost 7 minutes to 11. Of course, at 11 o'clock, we'll have to call it quits. You have something to add to young Emma. You've been nursing it all day.
Really?
I think you should say.
Do you?
I've been nursing it. Yeah. George,
what have you guys done?
No, he's basically deep down
committed
to finding you someone worthy over the next few months.
Look, I'm looking out for him.
I'm okay. I'll be all right.
you deserve a really nice guy.
Aw, Troy.
We want to see Vincenzo and we want to see Anna happy.
Yeah. We do. And maybe there'll be some, we've got the virgin olive oil, we've got the
tomato sauce.
You got an invite for dinner?
You've got an invite for dinner, boys. Hap, when's
you're
the
in.
Invite?
You're in.
Does that mean someone gets on the barbecue?
I think we'll do pizzas.
Oh, pizzas.
Have you got the wood fire oven?
We've got the real deal out the back.
Not a Francesco ranch?
That's right. It is a bit of a ranch, actually. What do you got for me?
No, just some sage advice.
Give it.
Go on. Reach out there. Think for a moment.
No.
Like a sage.
I'm channeling Grasshopper from Kung Fu. Move on.
Oh, move on. Yeah. It's that blistering thing that you feel.
They're two very powerful words in the right context.
Can I just jump for a moment? Something that you told me when we first started working together. You said you're a huge movie buff.
Did I?
But you haven't seen any movies of late.
Because she's
been partying galore. Is there a movie that captures your fancy?
I still want to go and see the new 50 Shades.
Hello.
What? Hang on, that's 50 Shades.
50
darker.
Shades darker.
Okay.
Do you know what we should do?
But you can't take a guy to that. They're not going to watch that.
Who said so?
Hang on a minute. I'm thinking.
Troy, will you come with me?
Look, I'll get back to you on that.
Why don't we book out a theatre and get all those who want to come to the theatre to see the movie with Emma?
Oh, my God.
And you can go as chaperone.
Yeah, that's
because Vincenzo would.
Terrible
would
idea.
Eat us up alive.
I don't do chaperone, George. I don't do chaperone.
Maybe as a work colleague.
Are you talking like bachelor style?
Where you hand out popcorn instead of rose?
Gee, where is this going, George?
But hopefully somewhere exciting.
I actually,
We're on here, but
yeah, you could tell us.
I took a girl on a first date to Eyes Wide Shut.
This is the movie with
Nicole Kidman
and her husband at the time, Tom Cruise.
Oh. Yeah, and look, I just
did it go well?
Yeah, it actually lasted longer than I thought it would. But
okay,
you know what she said? When we walked out of the studio, she said, "That was an interesting choice of film."
I feel a whole lot better now about a movie choice I made many, many years ago.
Yeah.
It was The Last Tango in Paris.
Oh, wow. With Malcolm McDowell? Marlon Brando?
Marlon Brando.
Oh, yeah.
And I've since discovered that Marlon misbehaved in that movie, and it doesn't have the same impact that I once thought it had. Yeah. But, so we're talking about choices. Poor choices or interesting choices.
I just thought, Tom Cruise, I thought Nicole Kidman, they were, massive at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought, I reckon I could make a good impression. I didn't watch the trailer, but I'll tell you what, the theatre was full.
Well, I did a similar thing for a charity a couple of years ago when the original 50 Shades of Grey came out. Mm. And we had a cinema in the city, absolutely packed with women who came to see the movie. Mm-hmm. And I had to hand out candy and we cut a cake. And we had a fabulous meal put on by the sponsors.
Right.
So it was really well received. Mm-hmm. And then my wife turned to me after the movie. She said, "It wasn't very special." And I'm thinking, I wasn't expecting too much. So I said, "Oh, there you go." But now I hear, and especially now with Emma's endorsement, that 50 Shades Darker is apparently an infinitely more finished product and a much more mature movie.
Oh, mature, hey? So you're telling me you want to go sit in a cinema? You want me to go sit in a cinema with
an audience
full of men?
No, it could be men and
women.
Okay.
We might take Anna and Vincenzo with us.
How would that be?
Can you imagine?
That's only
something so we can talk.
The Not a Francesco household would never be the same again. Look at Emma. Emma's actually blushing.
I'm not coming with any stories next week. I'm not letting you in anymore.
But how about if we go and see it and we'll give a movie review?
Okay. All right.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. We can do that.
You can do movie reviews. Do you want to wait till we all go to see 50 Shades Darker or...?
You're not invited.
Okay. Fine. I'll just go and set up. No, I think that's something.
George, when are you taking me to the soccer?
Right.
I think that's something.
Next home game. Yeah. Are you free next home game?
I am free for you and this home game.
Right. Okay. Right.
I'll clear my schedule.
So now.
Just promise me you won't wear a victory top.
Movies with
just
Troy.
Promise me you won't wear
I can't
a victory
promise
top.
That. Maybe a hat.
No, you can't wear that stuff in the chairman's club.
So where's Tony
going to
take
City?
Me? He'll take me to some cricket game that he's playing in on a weekend, won't he?
He can take you to Tullamarine Airport and you can ride the Tullamarine baggage carousel.
Get Jetport to help us out.
Listen, don't you use Jetport for all your car parking needs when you get to the airport?
I absolutely do.
Of course.
I do.
I thought this is how you managed to get to the station on time.
This is how I managed to get here last time on time, just without washed hair.
Yes, but you made that decision because you wanted to be a professional.
Exactly.
Had you washed your hair, you would have been late by half an hour?
Exactly, but I came in looking great today.
Yeah.
All I can say is at least you turned up. Shebeki has no excuse.
Yeah? Now I hear
and for
George.
That story about how he actually went to Adelaide. Now, his wife was wondering where he was.
Yeah.
She was probably thinking, the Adelaide carousel's over there, and he's come on the Sydney one. And, no wonder they didn't catch up.
And now, in huge font, we throw to the best of breakfast at 11 o'clock, ladies and gentlemen.
You've done the best hosting there possibly could be. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, George.
This has been
another
edition of the Ultimate Wrap, brought to you by Jetport Airport Parking and Northern Jeep, Australia's number one dealer.